on ABC Radio Brisbane, you're listening to Rebecca Levingston.
Hydrogen is really being looked at a very exciting new energy source to power Queensland into the future. We have a Minister for Hydrogen now. And in fact, two Brisbane-based businesses are already looking into the technology. One is creating a reusable, green-fueled spacecraft to launch satellites into the Earth's orbit, while the other company is looking at hydrogen fuel cells to power cars and buses. Michael Smart is the founder of Hypersonics Launch System. Michael, good morning.
Morning, Rebecca.
And Greg Balkan is Chief Operating Officer of Transit Systems Australia. Morning, Greg.
Morning, Rebecca.
Firstly, state budget yesterday, millions and billions of dollars being handed out left, right and centre, allocated. Anything in there for hydrogen that made you excited?
Yeah, Rebecca, there is. So there's currently about $15 million in the budget for hydrogen over the next 4 years. And there's an extra $10 million put in. So, so the government is interested in hydrogen, and I think it's, you know, waiting for industry to really talk to them and tell them where we can go and what are the opportunities.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we're about.
Yeah, I think also the government's investing significantly in training and skills in some of the regional towns like Townsville and Gladstone.
Mm-hmm.
And that sends a really good signal for Australia to become a world leader in hydrogen fuel cells, particularly in buses and perhaps ferries.
Yeah, that was part of the Premier's speech on Friday to the Resources Council crew, where she was saying she wants young people in regional Australia, in areas where the resource is, to be trained up and capable of working in those areas. Let's get to the specifics of what you're doing, though. Michael, how will hydrogen be used to launch satellites into space?
Yeah, so what hydrogen enables us to do is to fuel these new type of engines that are called scramjets that our company is developing. And the way to think about it is we want to fly to space. We don't want to launch a rocket to space. We're going to fly to space like a plane, place a satellite into low Earth orbit, and then fly back. And it's more like an airline system. And hydrogen fuel means that we will create no pollution whatsoever. And if we can create hydrogen in a green way, which is basically using solar energy, then the whole cycle is closed and we don't create any emissions whatsoever.
Okay.
So it's basically... We're trying to green the space industry. That's really the goal of our company.
Yeah, green hypersonic scramjet technology.
Exactly, powered, in Brisbane.
Yeah. Powered by the sun.
Powered by the sun, exactly.
Yeah, so in simple terms, explain how the sun puts that satellite into space.
Right, so the sun is used to... water is H2O. There's lots of hydrogen in water. So the sun is used to break water into hydrogen and oxygen. We then use the hydrogen as a fuel that we burn with oxygen again to propel our aircraft. And then that aircraft then takes a satellite into space. And, you know, the satellites, what's so amazing now is these satellites are tiny little things and they can be used for GPS, they can be used for broadband internet, all sorts of amazing things.
Mm. And so it's technology that you're sending into space, not people.
Exactly. Well, that's where we are right now.
Yes.
So technology is just easier, smaller. And there's a real business case for it, so that's why we're doing it.
All right, so that is Hypersonics Launch System. The hydrogen you're looking at, Greg, will actually power people around the place. Tell me about Transit Systems Australia.
Yeah, Transit Systems Australia is Australia's largest multimodal transport operator. We're part of the SeaLink Travel Group, ASX listed company. In Australia, we have about 2,600 buses, 114 ferries, and 24 trams. Globally, we have another 400 buses in London and soon 800 buses in Singapore.
And are all of the... Is that fleet currently... What's it currently powered by?
Diesel. We started operating hydrogen fuel cell buses in London in 2013 as part of our first group acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to operate fuel cell buses for 7 years. And that trial concluded in January this year successfully. So we're operating through central London, doing everything that a diesel bus does. And
so for 7 years, you've been running 400 hydrogen fuel buses?
No, 10 hydrogen fuel cell buses
10,
out of
okay.
the 400 buses.
Out of the 400,
yeah.
I got it. And for how long have you been doing that?
7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
Why hasn't it expanded more?
Well, it's a trial to start with through Transport for London. So all new technology needs to go through fairly rigorous testing to make sure it's safe and reliable. And as I say, that was 7 years. It's the second longest running hydrogen fuel cell trial in the world, behind California. So that concluded in March. Successful trial, as I say, it operated through central London. We operated those buses within a diesel fleet of about 200 buses in one depot. Passengers love them, mechanics like them, and we want to bring that technology to Australia and leveraging off our experience in London.
Any downside to a hydrogen-fueled bus?
Probably twice the price of a diesel bus, and that's always a discussion with government. Certainly, we are looking at, through our H2Oz consortium, which we'll speak about a little bit later, that gives us the opportunity of really bringing all the players together, the hydrogen producers, the bus manufacturers, all the components to make it all happen.
And is it pollution-free?
Zero emissions from the tailpipe. All you get is a bit of a drizzle of water out the back, not too dissimilar to an air conditioner.
Right.
It fuels the same sort of time as a diesel bus, 7 to 10 minutes. It operates in exactly the same operating environment as a diesel bus. It doesn't have the same demand on the grid the electric buses do when they're being charged. So 7 to 10 minutes to be fueled, and they're off again.
Okay. And the longevity of the fuel cells?
The fuel cells we've been operating in London are Ballard fuel cells. We ran one to basically destruction, 36,000 hours in a mobile environment. It's unheard of.
Right.
So that brings new standards. And we found that...
How do you do that? You're sort of whirring something at a rate to...
Oh, no, the bus goes out every morning. It goes out for about 16 hours and they come back. And
oh, so that's about the lifespan of a working bus,
36,000 hours. Right. Over a period of 7 to 8 years.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it lasted the distance, so
absolutely,
to speak.
Yep. So yes. That gave Ballard and fuel cell manufacturers a great insight into what the long-term benefits and costs are, because these buses haven't been operating for 25 years or 30 or 50 years like diesel.
Yes.
So it's still new technology. We found that the technology has evolved enormously in just the 7 years.
So at what point will you be ready to put hydrogen buses in Brisbane?
We could do that within 12 months. The buses are not the problem. The technology is there. It's proven technology. There's hydrogen buses in the UK, in Europe, USA, in Japan. The Tokyo 2000 Olympics, we're going to have 100 fuel cell buses.
Mm-hmm.
The technology is there. We're talking to manufacturers in Australia. We're talking to manufacturers overseas. So the buses are the easy part. The challenging part is to make sure you've got the hydrogen. And that's where we are talking to ARENA and state governments about what the hydrogen supply line will look like.
Yes.
We are insisting it's got to be green. You can have brown or blue. We're saying it's got to be green.
Yes.
So we've met with nearly every state government, including the Queensland government, over the last 2 years about how we can deploy hydrogen fuel cell buses.
Greg Balkin, Chief Operating Officer of Transit Systems Australia, alongside Michael Smart, who's the founder of startup business Hypersonics Launch System. We have a Minister for Hydrogen in Queensland now, the state government getting serious about this as a renewable fuel into the future, although green hydrogen rather than brown or blue. Michael, where are you at in terms of time frame of Hypersonics being able to take us into space?
Yeah, so we've done a lot of research in Queensland over the last 30 years. We've had all sorts of flight programs that we've done, and we've actually developed all our own technology. So it's all Australian-made technology. And so recently our company won a grant from the Department of Industry, the federal government, for the order of $1 million. And what that's going to enable us to do is to make the first, you know, green scramjet engine ever, and then test it in our lab, or what we call flight qualify it in our lab. So we will essentially run it through how it would fly in real life, and test out all our systems on the bench. And the next phase then would be to go and fly it.
Mm.
So what this grant really helps us to do is to make it real. So we'll have a real scramjet engine operating in the way it would in flight.
And you say over the next few years, we will see thousands of satellites placed in low Earth orbit.
Correct.
Thousands.
Yeah. Thousands of satellites. Because what's happening now is a lot of the services that are supplied to consumers from satellites, broadband internet, the Internet of Things, which is farmers helping them with their sensors on their ponds and they're finding out where their cattle are. They actually use little sensors that are picked up by satellites, mm-hmm. and the signal is sent back to the farmhouse, and so the farmer can keep track of a lot of things without having to leave the homestead. So there's so many things. And also stuff...
Say a few more that my listeners in Brisbane might be thinking, because when you said GPS before, people go, yeah, okay, I understand that. What else?
But also things like bushfire detection. So they have these wonderful sensors that don't just measure, look where the flames are, but look at how dry the vegetation is and able to predict where bushfires might happen in the future.
Yes.
Looking at the Barrier Reef, looking at the water temperature and then what's happening under the water as well. It's just all this amazing technology. And they're all put up in these small satellites, like satellites the size of a microwave oven. Like really tiny things.
Yes.
And they're put up in a constellation. So there'll be maybe 50 satellites that are all talking to each other. They're all in low Earth orbit, so they're all quite close to the Earth. And they're able to do things that in, 20 years ago, you need a bus-sized satellite in space.
Yeah.
And a massive rocket.
And 20 years from now, they'll be laughing at you going, yeah, it's something the size of a microwave. First, people will be going, what's a microwave?
Hey, what's a microwave? Exactly. Yeah. It'll be the size of, your mobile phone.
Okay. So you're going to put a bunch of microwaves into the sky and that's going to help us all be smarter here on land. How quickly can you take that microwave to space?
So it only takes about 15 minutes or so to get to space.
Wow.
It doesn't take long at all.
Wow.
It doesn't take long. And in fact, when we do launches, we try to do them as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. just to reduce the amount of drag that we have to put up with and the amount of heating that we have to handle as well.
Yes.
Because our aircraft that flies at hypersonic speed, which is basically Mach 1 is the speed of sound. So the speed of my voice traveling to you and back. Hypersonic is more than Mach 5, so more than 5 times the speed of sound. When we travel that fast in the air, things get really hot just from friction.
Yes.
And so we want to try to reduce that as much as possible. So we do very quick launches. So, yeah, it doesn't. It's not as if it takes a week to get up there. It doesn't take very long.
15 minutes into space, a bit different from 15 minutes to, I don't know, from Piccadilly Circus to wherever you're going in central London, Greg. Does that mean, is Michael using a lot more hydrogen and you're using – but what's the difference in terms of the speed and the usage?
Well, I was looking at Michael's website this morning. It's something like 106,000 kilograms of hydrogen on a rocket, traditional rocket.
A traditional big rocket to launch one of those bus-sized things. Yes, 106,000 kilograms of hydrogen, that's an absolutely enormous amount of hydrogen. One of our flights, actually, to launch, a microwave, it will use about 200 kilograms of hydrogen for one launch.
Yeah. We could launch a bus for 30 kilograms a day.
Yes.
So that's about the amount of hydrogen you need to about 300 kilograms, 300 kilometres for 30 kilograms of hydrogen. Yep.
But as you say, with the right technology, the right investment, this becomes a renewable resource, an endless resource. So long as we can keep pumping it out, then you can keep sending buses and trams and ferries around the place, and you can send scramjets into space. Where is Australia at in terms of hydrogen development compared to whoever is the lead country in this field?
I think it's a sort of a circular argument, because hydrogen producers need to have an offtake customer. Buses provide that offtake opportunity. Anything that goes back to a depot overnight or sometime during the day is a natural a customer for a hydrogen manufacturer, because you don't have to have a whole roadmap of hydrogen fuel stations. The buses go out in the morning, come back at night, they're fueled. So the delivery point is one location at a bus depot.
Yes.
We have a hydrogen refueling station. It's a much simpler process than trying to roll out a whole range of service stations for cars, for example.
Yes. At what point do you think people, do you see a big industry developing for hydrogen-fueled cars?
Oh, absolutely. Hyundai and Toyota already have hydrogen cars testing in Australia at the present time. We could have buses in Australia in 12 months operating in service. That's where the future is. It's either battery electric, when we operate 5 full electric buses in Sydney, the only operator in Australia to have electric buses in operation. And we see that there's a there's depending on the operating characteristics or the need of the routes, it can be either battery electric or hydrogen. We believe both technologies can coexist because certain characteristics are more suited to battery electric than hydrogen and vice versa.
I would love to hear from both of you more and more in the future. This is fascinating and exciting. Thank you both for taking the time to come in today and I guess reducing it to some extent to terms that, you know, the average person can understand. Appreciate it and we'll keep in touch.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Greg Balkin, Chief Operating Officer of Transit Systems Australia, and Michael Start from Hypersonics Launch System.
On ABC Radio Brisbane, you're listening to Rebecca Levingston.